I'm John Batchelor. It is a great privilege to speak with Conrad Black, writing his columns in National Post, a distinguished biographer, because we get to be surrogates for our native countries, for the United States here and for Canada there. And it's been weeks and weeks now, months and months, and Conrad and I have been seeking some explanation for the enmity that appears to be from Washington, directed at Ottawa and the rest of the Canada. It appears to be, because I'm not convinced, but it's been going on for some time, so that we've looked for remedies, prosperity, growth, good feelings. And now we're once again dashed with tariffs that came from out of nowhere and that might not actually exist. But in any event, they recreate the same circumstances of Liberation Day in 2025, which was, I have to say, I was blindsided by it. I had no idea that there was going to be that kind of rhetoric directed at Canada, at Canada. So, Conrad, we begin again. The most recent version of tariffs from the Trump administration has to do with forced labor. I believe the allegation is of these 60 countries that are named as going to be taxed or tariffed, the Canada is accused of importing from the People's Republic of China, where there is forced labor. However, there is a caveat here. Good evening to you, Conrad. Forced labor, you don't tolerate it. You've got better labor laws than we do. What forced labor in China, and what is Washington talking about? Good evening.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, I don't think there's any allegation of forced labor within this country. I think our supposed grievance is that we are importing some goods from places where forced labor is used. But as I understand it, the chief culprit is China. But the trade of the United States with China is 10 times as great as Canada's is. So that is incongruous to me. But I may not have the full picture. For all I know, we may be importing something, but it wouldn't be much, from another country that uses forced labor that the United States doesn't trade with. I don't know, but I think it is. We feel here that we're caught up in a jurisdictional issue internal to the U.S. that the president and his administration have gone to ingenious lengths to design around the Supreme Court finding that tariffs could not simply be imposed by the administration without the consent of the Congress by invoking a national emergency. And this is their way around it, but that we are, to a degree, the victims of it. In any case, I think I'm echoing the spirit of your opening remarks that we must treat this as a temporary and aberrant blip in the generally excellent relations between Canada and the U.S. It makes absolutely no sense to have a dispute between these countries, and Canada has got to be one of the fairest trading and least exploitive or devious countries to deal with. We have a very long history of playing it straight and of not being accused of unethical conduct as a matter of foreign policy. And it's really, apart from the inconvenience of it and the bad ambience that it creates, it's offensive for us to be continually, or at least intermittently, held up by the U.S. administration and the president himself as being wrongdoers, because that's not the nature of this country.
It feels, the policy feels arrogant, feels a concoction, feels fictional, feels arbitrary. It doesn't have anything to do with the actual economies of either countries or the future. I tell him,
and the counter tariffs are on frankly ridiculous things. I mean, hockey sticks and so on. I mean, I don't doubt that the United States can build hockey sticks just as well as Canada can. But what on earth are we getting down to foolishness like that for?
Because it means to provoke is a possible explanation. But I come to an anecdote that I was told recently crossing the bridge from driving from America into Toronto. I believe you leave New York. But in any event,
yeah, you'd be at Niagara Falls, probably.
the international trade, the duty-free shops, without lines, I was told. And there are always supposed to be lines because people, but no lines. And when asked for wine, California wine, we don't carry that here.
Conrad, you know, and, you know, normally at this time of year, there are huge numbers of Americans in this country, just as there are huge numbers of Canadians in the southern states of the U.S., southern and western states, in the winter. And normally, if you just drive, you know, from the suburbs of Toronto downtown through the main streets, you see all kinds of cars, and not just from neighboring American states like New York or Maine or Ohio or Pennsylvania, but all over the country, Tennessee and the Carolinas and even Western states. And it's quite markedly less now. And it's unfortunate. I mean, the countries get on well together and the cultural differences are quite slight. I mean, as we've discussed before, it is much easier to distinguish someone from, say, the state of Mississippi as opposed to the state of Massachusetts than it is somebody from Minnesota or Ontario. You know, I mean, there's just no reason for this. And so it's regrettable that it's happening.
And who is being protected, this protectionist tariff? Who was vulnerable that is now not vulnerable? I can't even begin to imagine such a person.
I agree. And tariffs are always responded to. They may be, the response may not be exactly equivalent to what it is objecting to, but we should strive. I think we should leave all of these things to the negotiations now underway and being intensively conducted on the Canada, U.S., Mexico, trade arrangements and not have these dramatic interruptive gestures that punctuate things. Now, I have no standing to get into this business of the president trying to establish his right to impose tariffs despite the Supreme Court decision. I mean, that's an internal matter, but I do object to Canada being singled out as part of it.
Canada being punished for being friendly and not defending itself over several hundred years. But I come to this. I don't believe this will exist 5 seconds after this administration steps away from the stage.
I'm even more optimistic. I think it will end during this administration. I don't think, and I've never detected, that President Trump has any grievance against Canada at all. He likes it as a country. He used to come here on skiing holidays all the time as a young man, and he's done a lot of business up here, always successfully, and he's always indicated to me that he likes Canada, and it's in Canada that he met his first wife, Ivana. I think the negotiators will do their work, and it'll all settle down, I hope.
Conrad Black, sunny and optimistic for me as well about the future for U.S.-Canada relations. Conrad Black, writing at the National Post. I'm John Batchelor.